Howdy do, buggaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday. Sources familiar with the matter have informed me it is November 23rd. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly.
Now, Dave, I'd like to start with you. What we're going to talk about today is the HomePod Mini. And Dave, you had, I don't know if it's a hot or a warm take on the HomePod Mini after having one for a few days. And let's get into that.
Sure. Yeah. My hot take is that it's great that Apple has a $100 smart speaker. If you're buying it for the sound, spend less and get more. But my hot take on Twitter was a little snarkier than that, but also true.
Okay.
That for $50, I can buy a JBL speaker that sounds way better than to my ears than the HomePod Mini does.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the sound signature on this thing. And I think I'm going to put a pin in that. The point of this speaker to me is not about the sound, especially after experiencing one. It is for people who want Siri everywhere. And if that's what you want, and it's worth paying $100 per speaker to you for that privilege, then this is absolutely a fine thing to have, right? Just like no one would buy an Echo Dot for its sound quality. They would buy it for its ability to hear and make sounds, right? Specifically yes. Voices. But you know, if your chosen home automation environment is Siri and not, you know, a lady from Amazon or the Google Assistant, mm-hmm. then this is the only option really, if you want something out loud, unless you want to buy the more expensive HomePod.
Okay.
Now you can do Amazon's and Google's environments way cheaper than you can do $100 HomePod Mini, but this is the price of being an Apple user. It's that, you know, it's no sure. great surprise, right?
Apple tax.
So the Apple tax, right? And that's fine. You know, be that as it may, right?
Okay.
Sound wise, though, I think really what it comes down to is I don't care for the Apple sound signature. I did not like the original HomePod. I didn't like it less after they kind of sort of reined in the low end on it, but it's still very much a, like, this thing has, I mean, there's a joke in the sound community, no highs, no lows, must be Bose, right? This thing very much immediately reminded me of listening to some like cheap Bose speaker. It was all mid range, okay. You know, the high, there's no high end, but the high mids are very honky, in like a car horn kind of, you know, it's got that wah, 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 very nasally kind of thing going on. And it, you know, it doesn't really have the ability to project sound, but if all you're doing, if you don't, it is way better than the speaker on your phone. And for a lot of people, that's all that matters, right? Mm-hmm. You're either not listening to music on it or you are, and that's your barometer. And then it's great by comparison. Or, you know, I talked to some people that are like, yeah, but really when I'm listening out loud at home, it's either talk radio or podcast or, you know, that sort of thing. And so it's like, yeah, okay, fine. Like, great. You don't need full range sound out of this thing. And people do say that having two of them in a stereo pair makes it a little better than just having one, which stands to reason.
Okay.
But I think a big part, I think this speaker could sound to my ears a lot better than it does. And I think that's just a choice Apple makes. They have a sound signature. Every company that's making a speaker like this, where they are choosing the EQ pattern of it, mm-hmm. is making a decision about this is what we want it to sound like. They have a reference point that they've decided upon, and that's what they go for. And if you like that, and if you're picky and you like that, great. If you're mm-hmm. picky and you don't like that, also great, buy something else. You know, it's easy.
Okay.
So there's my explanation of my hot take.
Okay. So, Brian.
Yep.
I'm tagging you in here.
Right. So, I.
This is where you called Dave an oh, sorry.
Definitely not. Dave is one of my go-to people when it comes to sound stuff. but I'm approaching the HomePod Mini from a slightly different standpoint. And that is someone who wants a HomeKit smart environment.
Okay.
I want Apple's security and privacy related approach to my smart home. Now, that is a choice that I make. Most people do not care about the same things that I care about, and I'm not going to try to present myself as an everyman in terms of that particular choice. What surprised me the most about HomePod Mini was that it sounded as close to the HomePod as it does.
That was going to be my first actual question for you, was how it stacks up, because the only voice assistant speakers you have are the Maximum HomePod.
Right. And I've got tons of them, as regular listeners know. I've got four of them in my house, and I don't have a big house. But I didn't have one in my kitchen like an animal. So that's where my HomePod Mini is. And I've been pleasantly surprised that it sounds as good as it does. Now, it does not sound as good as a HomePod. And
right.
Dave's points about sound signatures and Apple's EQ choices and all that stuff is completely on point. But when you are in that HomePod environment, the HomePod Mini was a fine addition. I don't think I would deliberately choose to listen to music only on the HomePod Mini as opposed to one of the HomePods, but adding it into the mixture in particular. Like when I was playing something on every HomePod in my house at the same time, the HomePod Mini felt like it was adding to the total sound that I was getting, especially when I was again in the kitchen.
Okay.
Makes sense to me. Like having local speakers to reinforce some of
exactly.
You know, some of what's going on over there, that, you know, the energy is still coming from the bigger speaker over there. Now you've got this little speaker that's sort of bringing maybe some of the more sibilant sounds and things like that,
you know,
in. And so it makes the music feel closer. We do that at home all the time. We keep our speakers in the dining area of our kitchen very low when we are dining in that area so that we can converse. I have the speakers in the living room much louder, but not having them in the kitchen makes it sound like the music's coming from over there. Having them on a little bit in the kitchen brings the music home without it being too loud. So and there is something to be said, like of all of these things, right? Any of the connected speakers, I'll call them smart, connotates something else, but you know, with either HomePod or the Amazon environment, a Google environment, or you know, Sonos or Bose's SoundLink, any of those things where you can have music playing, easily have music playing in many rooms simultaneously and in sync with each other, A, is really hard to do.
Yes.
And B, is a wonderful experience, especially if you're coming from, I listen to music with my phone or my AirPods, like having it out loud, but still also everywhere in the house is awesome. And to me, that does trump sound quality. When I first, the first thing that I had that did this was Sonos, because they were the first thing that did this. And, and I, you know, my asterisk back on easily is important. There were always ways to do this, but Sonos was the first company to make it easy.
Yeah.
And I did not care as much for their sound signature. In fact, their sound signature, they didn't really have one in the beginning. Each speaker was radically different from the others. And some of them I liked and some of them I really didn't like. And then they brought Giles Martin in as their sound experience engineer, son of George Martin, the Beatles fame, and Abbey Road and all that stuff. And Giles like identified this, or maybe somebody at Sonos identified this and said, we need to solve this problem, hire someone that will do it. And Giles was it. And so he, you know, with smart speakers that have CPUs in them, and this is true of all of them, you can retroactively change the way they EQ music. And so they did, and it made a big difference, you know? So, so I think, you know, don't worry about as much about my personal preferences when it comes to sound, unless you happen to already know that you like sound the way that I do, and then absolutely worry about it. Right.
Right.
But know that everything has a different sound signature. If sound is the most important thing for me, the HomePod's the wrong family of products to get for a lot of reasons.
Right.
But Siri everywhere, to your point, Brian, is exactly the best reason to buy into the HomePod.
I would never have gone HomePod all over my house if my sole goal was great sound.
Right.
That's not a choice that I would have made. I mean, mind you, for the price, I think that HomePod sounds good for the price for being a smart speaker. But again, I mean, like, if you're an audiophile, you're not this. None of these things are an issue for you in the first place. Right. And don't forget, I mean, like, you know, this is something that I think that Dave and I know I have to remind myself a lot that there are a whole lot of people who buy really crappy Bluetooth speakers and are super happy with them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a huge market, and most of them are just garbage, in my personal opinion. And most people don't really care about that. They want the sound. They don't really care what it sounds like.
Yeah, they
what
want I have sound found out loud.
What
yeah.
I have yeah. found is that it's louder than a phone speaker. Not necessarily better, but louder. So, well, like, louder, you know, now I don't have to wear headphones or whatever. If I, you know, if all of us want to hear music together, I can't quite hear it on my phone. So I spent $25 on a Bluetooth speaker. So now it's a party.
Well, louder is better, though. Like, you almost universally, sound is subjective in, like, clearly, right? But yes. But for each person in their own, you know, sound bubble, if you play someone something and then simply play it for them on the same speaker, you know, 2 dB louder, they will say, oh, that's much better. Universally, that's unless you're trained to recognize, wait a minute, that's the same thing, but louder. Uh-huh. You know, but even then, you might still, even if you know why it sounds better, you might say, yeah, I agree. That sounds better.
Yeah.
Because it's louder. Right. Okay. You know, it doesn't change that. So, yeah. And that's where it gets really difficult to compare the audio quality of, you know, to A-B things, because mm-hmm. if there's even a minute difference in loudness, then, it, you know, immediately
sure.
you say it's better. There's also a lot of confirmation bias, and the confirmation bias is a term that gets a lot of, that has a negative connotation. And in a lot of scenarios, it is correct for it to have that negative connotation. But with sound, if the whole point is, do you enjoy this more than this? Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't really matter the reason that you enjoy it better, right?
Right.
So if you spent $100 on speaker A and $1,000 on speaker B, and because you spent that $1,000 on speaker B, you think speaker B sounds better, you will then be happier mm-hmm. with the sound coming out of speaker B because of the knowledge you have about speaker B.
Right.
And you know what? That's the point. Listen and be happy.
Yes.
So it's truly valid as long as you don't represent it as, you know, a universal fact. It's like, you know, but right. the fact is you like it better. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Now,
no problem. Enjoy. If you like the sound of your, you know, crummy turntable, even if it's a high quality one, awesome. Great. You know, you get a really weird EQ pattern out of turntables, but again, weird to my ears.
Right.
If you like it, sweet, go for it.
Okay, there is one universal truth, though. Cassettes do not sound better. I just want to get that out there, hipsters. You're wrong.
This is true. That said, yeah, cassettes are not better. The end. And I say that as a child born and raised on cassette tapes. I'm here to tell you, no, sweetie, no. So I came to it from trying and failing to use an Echo Base in the kitchen as a place for sound to come from, because at some point Amazon added the ability to connect, you know, to it because it's a Bluetooth speaker. And so we have one of those, and I tried it and it sucked every time I tried to do it. And then I couldn't get it disconnected. So then, like, my phone notification noises would come out of the Echo Base in the kitchen when I was someplace else. And I couldn't figure out when my phone wasn't making any noise. And what did I just hear in the kitchen? And it was a terrible experience every time I tried to use it. So I kind of gave up and was just sort of using my phone speaker. And so then when I got my HomePod Mini, I put it in the kitchen And it's great two ways. Number one, it is better than the phone speaker I have. But also, it's very easy to connect to it. It's a very like HomePod or AirPod style connection. Because like it won't play Audible books natively, but I can pick up my phone and open the Audible app and go, here, play my book on an AirPlay device. How about the HomePod? Okay, here you go. And then it just plays it. And so I thought music on it was fine, but again, I was using it in the same situation I used to use my phone speaker. So it's definitely an improvement over that. If I were like AirPlaying to the other speakers in my house, like the real speakers that I have, I don't think it would be quite as nice. So I sort of agree with you there. I definitely like it better as a voice assistant than I do the Echo that I have. And I'm trying to get now in the habit of using the S lady to do stuff instead of the A lady. So I've been trying to work on having the S lady turn the lights on and off and all that kind of stuff, which is what I normally use the Echo Base for. So at least in that respect, I have enjoyed it. Now, Brian, what is your S lady experience like? I'm assuming it's probably pretty good because you've had it for a long time and with your full size HomePods.
Siri is not perfect yet. No. And there are things that don't work as well as they should. I'm currently having an issue where some of my HomePods don't want to play music and from Apple Music, and I haven't bothered to figure out why. I shouldn't have to figure out why. Okay. But my biggest thing in the world has been fixed, though, which was the fact that Apple TV hardware would forget.
Yeah.
Which would that I want my sound coming out of my HomePods, and now you can actually designate that, and it's pretty easy to do, and I am super happy about that.
And it remembers, right?
Like what? And it remembers, correct?
Yeah,
it remembers. Okay. And I think that the biggest thing about the HomePod Mini is this: if you have an environment or a budget where you don't want to spend the money on HomePod, but you want to get another Siri smart speaker, mm-hmm. the HomePod Mini is going to be fine for you, mm-hmm. probably. And that's really the long and short of it. I mean, like, you know, if you have a college student who is somehow able to actually go off to college, and you know, maybe they don't have a lot of room because the HomePod Mini is smaller. Mm-hmm. And it's cheaper, but they want to be able to do some smart home stuff that might be good for them. If you've got a small space in your house, might be good for that too. And you're probably going to be just fine with it.
I need to step in here as someone with plenty of experience with this. dorm room based college students will likely have a heck of a time or an impossible time getting any sort of smart speaker to connect to the campus Wi-Fi. Mm,
fair point.
So if your college student is in an apartment, which is, you know, far more traditional in terms of what a home is, mm-hmm. and they manage their own Wi-Fi, great. But don't run out and buy your college student a smart speaker to use in their dorm room without... Yeah. Yeah, without first truly checking with the IT department of your school, because 99% of the time it will not work the way you want it to work, if at all.
Right. Okay. Good to know, because that is a thing to consider.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And I think, Brian, I think that you're right about the sweet spot for this, which is, which sounds a lot like Dave's, which is, you know, if you want the S lady scattered around your house, this is a much easier way to do it. If that's the primary thing,
the only way to do it.
Well, it's if it's the primary thing that you're looking for is,
yeah,
is that.
But I mean, so, there are no third party speakers that support Siri.
No, I just meant this. Maximum versus maximum HomePod. Like, this is a very nice way to do that at $100 a piece.
Sorry. Got so, it. Yes. Yeah. Yes. The Mini, of course. But those are the two speakers that will do it. It's not right. Like Amazon or Google,
it's where like
there are
19
third party
of them.
Speakers yeah. that can do it. Well, sure. And not just, you know, first brand, but third party brand right. speakers can do Google and and or mm-hmm. Amazon, depending on the speaker. But that is not the case with Apple. They have not opened that up, which right. I would be great if they did.
Yes.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Because yeah. I would like one of these JBL speakers that you're talking about. That sounds really awesome. Yeah. But then also I can tell it what to do. That would be great. One thing we have not talked about, I'm going to just spend a second on, is I have been goofing around with the intercom feature, and I dig it a lot. I don't know that it will do Brian much good, because I don't know that sending voice messages to Commander Ichabod from across the house is going to be very effective. But I have played a little bit with it, and we will probably talk more about that when it gets a little more integrated into stuff around my house. And being able to use it to send messages back and forth effectively. I sort of showed it off to Mr. Kelly, and so far interest has been low. So we'll see if that changes over time. That's going to do it for us, though. If you have questions or if you have tips about the HomePod or the HomePod Mini, you can always get a hold of us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, or by leaving comments in the show notes. So thanks both of you for being here today. Brian, as always, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having us, Kelly. Good to be here.
Dave, thank you for being here to talk to us about the HomePods.
Thanks for having me. Such good stuff.
It really is. I am your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.